So we must make straight the highway of Yahweh, the paths. And it's one thing about a highway, you don't have one road, do you? There's some highways, they're talking about making Atlanta 10 lanes each way. Something gigantuous. So we must make straight the highway that leads into the kingdom or the governing of Yahweh through in one's life. Now, I want you to hear this now. Debarim, Deuteronomy chapter 10. Now, if this is not for us today, tell me. Tell me, please. May I see a raising of one's hand? Reject it. This is what Yahweh says as he exhorts his people to obedience. As Moshe speaks unto Israel. Debarim 10, verse 12. And now, Israel. It's now, right now. It's now. So now it's now. So what has gone past is what? Past. But now it's now. So is this now or was it past? And now. Are we Israel? So he speaks of, and now, Israel, what does Yahweh, your Abba, require? Are there requirements from Yahweh? Does it require for us to be Kodesh? Does it require for us to be at Shalom, to love one another? So this is what he expects of us. Now, Israel, what does Yahweh, your Abba, require of you? Is there an expectation of Yahweh of us? Does he expect things of us? Certainly he does. But to fear Yahweh, your Abba, and to walk in what? Does it say all there? Or some? But to walk in all his what? Ways. And what? Has that changed? Do we still love Yahweh? To love him and to what? Serve Yahweh, your Abba, with what? How much? Partial? Has that changed? To serve him with all of your love and with all of your what? Your being, the fullness of you. That has not changed, brothers and sisters. That has not changed one bit. Not one bit. So the requirements of Yahweh have never changed. We still have to love him with all of our being, all of our love. We still must do that. We still must walk in all of his ways and to do all that he commands us. We still must love him. Those things have not changed. We must understand what he requires of us. Verse 13, to keep what? To keep the mitzvahs, to keep his commandments, the commandments of Yahweh, his statutes, which I command you this day for your tav, for your good. So if we walk in his ways, are they for our good? If we keep all the ways of Yahweh, is it for our good? All right, let us look at this thing in this dimension. If he spoke that unto Israel then, and he said, if you do what I tell you and you obey me, you will prosper. You will be blessed to do that. Was it for their good? And he says to us, and now, this moment, Israel, it doesn't change. So if we walk in his ways and do what he commands us, all of his ways, it is for our good. It is for our life. And our problem is that we have tried to mesh this secular, fleshly, religious practice with the things of Yahweh. And it twists us. So we got 1,000 questions. That's not hard for anyone to understand that. All we need to do is go back and find the ways of Yahweh. And we find them in the Torah. All of his ways are written there. And the prophets give us a great revelation in history or a great understanding and examples of Israel when they did not do that. What befell them? What happened to them? What they were under? So we must walk in all of his ways. Can I ask you a question? Let's go back to Bereshit. Yahweh gave Adam and Eve, he put them in the garden, did he not? In the cool of the day, did he come and talk to them? Did he give him all of his ways for their instruction? He gave them everything they needed, did he not? When they walked out of his ways, did death come? Sure it did. Was there separation? And so we sense the separation from Yahweh because we're not walking in all of his ways. Brothers and sisters, that's why many men today, that's why marriages are crumbling. That's why there are no strength in the marriages. because the homes now are based upon the principles of a sectarian religious practice, that it is a fight against Yahweh. That's what sectarianism is. It is ethnicities or races fighting against one another. We are actually fighting against Yahweh. We allow our flesh to fight against Him because we want things our way. He wants things His ways. And we must walk in all of His ways. And we got to get, that's why Yohanan said, repent. Repent. When one repents, it's a great sorrowfulness that breaks one's heart. And when one's heart is broken, then Yahweh is near that one. He gets near that one. And when one is contrite, then He saves such. We're arrogant because we say, well, I don't think it's that way. Well, let's go to Scripture, see what it says. You can't base it upon your emotions. You can't base it upon your circumstances. It has to be based upon what Scripture says. And we base things upon our circumstances, our emotions, our lifestyles. But Yahweh wants things to be based upon what Scripture says. We have to do what Scripture says. We can't obey, do things our own way, but we have to do what Scripture says. We have to. We have to. We must fear Yahweh, walk in all of His ways, serve Him, keep all of His mitzvot, His statutes, which I commanded you for your own tov, for your tov. For your own good. What He tells us, we will be blessed if we obey Him. Blessed is the man, everyone that fears Yahweh, that walks in His ways. When a man fears Yahweh and walks in His ways, he is blessed. He is blessed. And Yahweh wants us to walk in His ways. His ways are His statutes. His ways leads us to the pass. His ways are His mitzvahs. We must remember the Shabbat. The way of the world teaches us not to do what Yahweh commands us. That is the spirit of darkness. Because that's what Satan said to Eve. Yahweh knows that the day that you eat of this tree, that you will become a god. And that was the truth. That's why gods, you cannot, all gods are created things. They do not have the mind of HaMashiach, the mind of Yahweh. And they're all created. And they're evil beasts. And the first thing that happened when they disobeyed, did evil come in? Did the power of sin rise up? Did the strength of sin rise up? Why? Because they defied the Torah of Yahweh, didn't He? He gave them all the liberty. He said, everything. And all these ways you can walk. All of these ways. You can eat. You can enjoy. But of that tree of the knowledge of good. And knowledge today is evil. This is the generation of evil knowledge. He says the tree of the knowledge of good. Well, He knew who was Tav because He was in His presence. He could see the Tav of Yahweh, all His goodness all around Him in His creation in that place. Could He not? He could see the splendor of Yahweh. He could see that. He said, but that of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat. Well, we know evil knowledge is always, it is always instructing one to disobey Torah. And that's what Christianity and doctrines today, or religious practice, teach us to disobey Torah. That's the evilness of this knowledge today. That's why we find so much death and find so much killing today. I was reading yesterday in D.C., the metropolitan, the metroplex, is actually throughout the whole city, that whole little territory. It's not even a city, truly. And that every single day, since the 1st July, there's been someone killed every day. Boom. Boom. 2 days. 1 day, two persons were killed. Now, people don't realize, because we are a forgetful generation, in the 80s, I recall, because those kinds of statistics I kept abreast of. For about 8, 9, 10 years, in D.C., every single day, somebody was killed. Boom. And it was basically in the community what we call these African Americans. Every single day for 9 years or 10 years, every day. Every day. Every day, at least one young man or woman, colored person, boom, was blown away. Was killed. Every single day. You had the power of sorcery, of drugs, controlling the mind. These are not the ways of Yahweh. You have this illusion of riches, gold chains and gold teeth in their mouths. Some schools have even borrowed those attires. They can't come to school. These schools are hellholes of darkness. That's all they are, brothers and sisters. You can train your children and teach them. They are demonic powers of hell, and they teach them darkness. They do not teach them any love of Yahweh or any kind of truth at all. And there are schools today that they're just simply barring certain things because this twisted mindset of this generation. And you know who's raising hell with the school and the superintendents, don't you? It's the parents. What they ought to be able to express themselves. How can an ignorant little nincompoop, how do they know how to express themselves? But by some form of image they've seen to contort their thinking and make them think a certain way. Tell me. You can't do nothing unless you've been taught to do it. I don't care what you think. You sisters that had these yoggers and didn't know what it was to put the titty in the mouth, you had to have somebody show you and help you to get the milk out. You got nervous, scared? That is the truth. Sit in our hypocrisy, so what? You had to have a mother, someone that had the experience and say, honey, that's going to happen. You'll be all right. Put it there. Well, it hurts. I know. That's part of the bereshit of a woman's responsibility. Yahweh has not faltered in what he said. He has not changed anything. For some reason we think he has. And that's why we don't fear him. That's why we count him, quote, as the world would say, a chump, unquote. That's how we think of Yahweh. He is this mythical thing that has no control or power at all. Say what you will or may. That is the mindset of this generation. Because we feared him, we would do all he said. We will obey his words. We hear the truth, we'll not harden your heart. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever heard truth and you harden your heart against it? Don't even answer it. Be slow to speak and quick to hear. You've heard things you don't like. Preacher said something you didn't think was just appropriate. You don't think scripture said that. You harden your heart against that. You've done that. That's why we're all for quiet here today. You've done that. So you don't provoke Yahweh with the hardening of your heart. You go to scripture and see what scripture says. So his ways are his judgments, his mishpah, and all of those things. We must walk in all of the ways of Yahweh. It says this in the book of Yasa in Apocrypha. Listen to this. It says, and Abraham, Yasser 11:14. I like this. It says, and Abraham knew Yahweh, and he went in his ways and all the ways of Yahweh and all of Yahweh's instructions, and Yahweh his Almighty was with him because he obeyed him. He was with him because he went in all of his ways. When we began to transgress, sin willfully, disobey the Torah, Yahweh is not with us. When you reject Torah, when you reject the Torah of Yahweh, and the Torah deals with more than the mitzvot. This is to govern our lives and to govern our beings. But the Torah teaches us every aspect of life. It is Yahweh's wisdom. It is the mind of Yahweh. It's his instruction. He put that mind in Adam. And Adam allowed sin. But the second man, Adam, he was made this quickness, the living power of Almighty Yahweh. He did not allow the power or the strength of sin to overtake that truth of Torah in him and what he was. And so he sinned. And once he sinned, he brought in, he ushered in every kind of vile thing there is. When you remove your mind away from truth, isn't it at times that every kind of devious thought and things that are so devious, have you ever experienced that? You're the only one, huh, Deacon Benny? No one else experienced that. You never experienced that when you allow, when you remove your mind from the government of Yahweh, there's not every kind of devious thought and things that you know that are so vile and evil. You never experienced that. If you haven't, something is wrong with you. You are a genuine hypocrite. You are a true false one, because if you have had any experience, you've had that. And your mind, when it's removed away from that living power of Torah, that discipline of Yahweh, there is nothing beyond that. Because when Shaitan moved the mind of Eve away from that, then sin, the power of sin came in. And that's why we transgress. That's why we sin against Torah. But we're not walking. We must walk. And when one walk in a way, one strive, one is disciplined by that way. One stay there. One is prepared to do that. A runner that runs marathons, he doesn't get up every morning and pack on a 3,000, 4,000 calorie meal. He or she gets up and they just run 10, 15 miles every day. And then during the course of the week, they got to run maybe a 25 or 30 mile run to prepare themselves for the great event. And that's what the Torah teaches us. It teaches us the spiritual exercising of Yahweh by faith. And that's why out of Zion shall go the Torah, and out of Jerusalem the word of Yahweh. It can only come from the belly of the mother. The true word can only come from the belly of the mother. What we have today is a superficial, false type of Jerusalem. It's not the Jerusalem of Yahweh. It is not. This, what they call Zion today, is not the true Zion of Yahweh. Yeshaya. Turn back there to Yeshaya. Isaiah 35. Of course, all of you all have heard this. Isaiah 35, verse 8. If you never heard this scripture before, let me know. Especially if we were what we call, quote, holiness movement, unquote. It says in Yeshaya 35, verse 8. It says, and a highway shall be there, and a way. And it shall be called the way of Kodesh. Listen now, the way now. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men. Though a fool should not even err therein, a fool should not even enter, and he should not even stumble upon the way. He should not even stumble upon that way. He should not. Now, we must understand that that is quoted in many of these prostitutional houses tomorrow. Many of them will quote this. But we must find out that way was written in the Torah, in the Tanakh, wasn't it? So we must walk in that way. We must walk in all the ways of Yahweh, in His Torah. We must keep His mitzvah. He has a name. You don't take it in vain. His name is not pagan God or Lord. His name is Yahweh. He has a son. Yahshua HaMashiach. He has a son. He tells us to remember the Shabbat and keep it Kodesh. When a man says he loves Yahweh, I don't care who you are, and you don't walk in all of His ways, then we're just flat out liars. It's better to say I'm a liar and I'm wrong and realize what you are than to be lukewarm and false and not identify who you are. Because if you're lukewarm, He's going to spew you out. He said, whether you be hot or cold, just be real or just don't be real. If you're not real, I can deal with you. There's an old proverb among many say, I'd rather man let me know what he is, because if I know what he is, I will know how to deal with him. I'd rather man let me know that if he doesn't like me, let me know. Okay, you don't like me, I like that. Don't pretend you like me and you know you don't like me. I don't like that. Now that's a hypocrite. Now they will slit you in the back stoutly, and you won't even know you're sitting in the back. But a man that despises you, he lets you know, I will kill you. That's just it. I don't like you. I'd rather know that because I can prepare for him. Can I not? Can you not prepare for one like that? But one that is false, and as they would say, smile on your face and grin, and all of a sudden, yeah, and lay the blade in your back. You don't know how to prepare for a man like that. I'd rather you just be hot or cold, he says, because if you're lukewarm, I know you are the devil himself. He said, I'm going to vomit you up. He means what he says. So I'd rather someone just be straight up, frank, and honest. I don't like your preacher. That's all right. I have no compunction with that. No whatsoever. But I know how to deal with you. Don't tell me you like me and you're feeding me strychnine. Don't tell me you love me and you're putting just a little strychnine in my meal each day to destroy me. You see, that's what a hypocrite will do. That's what a false brother or sister will do. They will feed you a little strychnine every day. A little lie, a little gossip. The falsehood. And all of a sudden you begin to eat that trust and you find yourself dead as a doorknob. That is the truth. The ways of Yahweh, all of His ways. He has a way. There is a highway there. And what He is saying is a way that is clean. Is the Torah clean? I want to read that. It says, now I know what it says in the KJV. It says, and there shall be a highway there, and there shall be a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Does it say that? If you have a KJV, it says that. I know what it says in the KJV, okay? Now I want to read that. Now that's what it says in the Old Covenant, isn't it? Now, if that is a true statement, we must find out what this way is. And HaMashiach had to reveal that unto the Shilishims, the apostles, so that we will have knowledge of this truth, right? Look at what it says in Romans chapter 7, verse 12. Romans 7:12. See, a fool cannot understand Torah. He will not delight in Torah. It says in Romans 7:12, wherefore the Torah is, what does it say in the KJV? It is Kodesh. The Torah is Kodesh. And his mitzvot are what? And his commandments are what? Come on, say it. It says, and his commandments are what? Say it. What does it say? What does it say in the KJV? Who got a KJV? Read it. Say it loud. It says holy, right? That's what it says. I don't like that expression, but I know what it said. I'm saying that to show you that. It says, in Yeshai, and there shall be a highway than a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness, or Kodesh. Now, I know what we have been taught, what has been called the way of Kodesh, or holiness. We've been taught this, that's the way, but that's not the way. That's what we were taught. That's how we were brought up. That's it. Period. The Torah is the way. For we know wherefore the Torah is Kodesh and the Mitzvah is Kodesh. They are just and they are good. Now that's what we were taught in what we call the holiness movement. That was a part of that. I know what they taught. But that is what is Kodesh, is Torah. That is what is Kodesh, is Mitzvah. And so if you are fool, you will not even have any understanding of the way of the Torah. You're not going to even stumble upon it. You're not going to even err to understand that. You're not going to even stumble upon it. So scripture is not contradictory. What Shaul said is not contradictory of what Yeshaya said. It has great reverence. It has great knowledge. So his Torah is Kodesh. And his Mitzvot are Kodesh. That is the way of Yahweh. That is his way. It's not some physical generation. It's not this foolishness. It is not of Yahweh. It is not all this crazy reaction, this manic depression that is created in these psychopathic places today. It's psychotic. You got some of these places that if the women don't come out of there drenched in sweat and wet, they call, quote, the spirit has not moved on them, unquote. They don't come out of there looking like a fruit head. Falling out. That's not the power of Yahweh. That's a craziness. That's stupid. And these old crazy things. You don't tell me that's Yahweh. I recall as a young preacher, I preached in this place, and all the men danced the same way. They all did the same thing. And it was kind of effeminate like. I said, man. And I've been in places that every man, when they dance or they shout, it is always this. They had that little step boy, just all this little feminine. I don't care where you go. You can go from China to India. You can go from America, anywhere. And they all do it alike. Now, it is not of Yahweh. It is not of Almighty Yahweh. But that's what we call the moving of his Ruah. We know that the Torah is Kodesh. We know that the Mitzvot, there shall be a highway there. And a way, it shall be there. And the way, and it shall be, and a way. And it shall be called the way of Kodesh. And that is the way, brothers and sisters. That's the way that is pure. His Torah. That is the way that is pure. His Mitzvot. That is the way that we go. That is the highway that we get on. That is the way that we go. It's just a one straightway lane that really leads unto the kingdom blessing. That's the way we go. And on that highway that we find these two lanes that leads right unto Yahweh. Governs our hearts, our lives. And every path you say, well, you don't get lost on this way. You take this path of his statute, your limitations. He tells you how fast to go. That's what a statute is, isn't it? It tells you how far you can proceed, your limitation. He said, I have ordinance. You must obey and do these things. That's why our lives today are very much dysfunctional. Because it has not been ordained or has not been governed by the Torah and the truth of Yahweh. It hasn't. And so as we hear the truth, we must obey. We don't harden our hearts. We don't get upset with Yahweh when he corrects us. Every son that he received, he chastened, doesn't he not? He corrects us, doesn't he? Spank our butts. But if he doesn't, then we are bastards. We're just bastards. We are retards. So we must receive the correction of Yahweh. Oh, it doesn't seem pleasurable for the moment, but afterwards it generates and brings forth the shalom fruit of Yahweh. You may get upset with it. I don't like that, but I tell you what, you digest that and let it fill your life, you will find that there's a great comfort in Yahweh. Well, I don't believe it's that way. Then search scriptures and see what scripture says. And then when you see the truth and the light of that thing, you obey it, then you will begin to sense the shalom of Yahweh. That's what he wants us to do, brothers and sisters. Our ways seem right, don't they? Do not your ways seem right? Your way of getting upset and angry, that seems right, doesn't it? But it's not the right way. Your ways of doing things, it never leads you to Torah, does it? It never leads you to Mizpah. It never leads you to the highway, brothers and sisters. It doesn't do that. You can say, different from me. No, it isn't different from you. Is some flesh grass or all flesh is as grass? All flesh is as grass. Is the heart deceitful or some hearts? The heart is deceitful about some things. All things and desperately wicked, isn't it? Do you have a heart that is deceitful? And it's a desperately wicked thing in the control of man. That's why Hamashiach and Shaul said, let's permit that mind, the heart of Hamashiach, that he please Yahweh in all things, be in you as well. And how was that heart? It walked in all the ways of Yahweh. And we must walk in all the ways of Yahweh, not some. We must do all that he commanded us. Everything. So his Torah and the mitzvahs are Kodesh. They're set apart. It is a profound highway there that leads us to the bosom of Yahweh. That's why Yochanan said, prepare ye the way. Prepare the way. You false scribes and Pharisees, you all have deluded and corrupted the way of Yahweh. And make these paths straight. Come on, you know what they should bring for the offering unto Yahweh. You've corrupted it. Make it right. Make it plain for them. And it began with you repenting. You don't repent, you can never make it right. You can never get it right. You will never recognize that. So that's what he came to prepare the way. Prepare the one that will show the way and bring the life of this way plainly, make it alive, cause us to rejoice in it, to be glad, to be happy to know that we have found the highway. We have not erred upon it, but he has placed that way there for us to walk on. And you cannot walk on that Kodesh way unless you have the power of the Torah, his mitzvahs, enriched in your inward parts, written by the finger of Yahweh, and the power of his spirit brings it alive continuously. In your most trying moment, it brings alive the promise of hope that he has written in the heart of man, his servants, his people, Yisrael. So he wants us to make it plain. And this way to be straight, it is a straight way. There ain't no crooked roads here. That's why we see the kingdom. We see it from a far distance, but we know it's there. And the more we walk this highway, we get a better glimpse. And the closer we get, the more real it becomes to us. And the reality began to set in. And it caused the heart to be filled with a great delight and the great rejoicing of Yahweh. He has not made this truth complex that we cannot understand. He has made it simple that he would take a wretched thing like me and say, now I will put these words in your mouth, speak it to Israel. He has not made it that difficult. A fool cannot err on this truth and this path. But his Torah is Kodesh. It's right for us. His mitzvahs. That's why you can't break one of them. Can we go out and murder someone? Can you literally go out and just kill someone? Just walk up to someone and say, all right, boom, boom. You can't do that. So if you can't do that, then you cannot deny his name. You cannot deny his Shabbat. He tells you how to keep it Kodesh. Keep it as unto me. I will not trade that off for $1 billion, and I mean that. I wouldn't know what to do with $1 billion. I wouldn't know what to do with it, neither would you. You would just be a wild thing, like a kid in a candy store. You would not know what to do with $1 billion. You couldn't give it away fast enough, because you have $1 billion, you become that much more stingy. Sure you will. Or I'll give $1 million here. No, you will not. No, you will not. Because even the spirit of that will not even allow you to do it. Or what Mr. Buffett and those men are doing, Bill Gates, you know, just it's a mockery what it is. Greedy dogs. That's all they are.
And for the next 100 years that they were alive, they would not give all that money away. Believe me. What they give away is just a little interest and the little money they draw on that. They're not going to give away the book because they want to be esteemed and memorial as gods, which they are. That's what they want to be esteemed as. The Bill Gates and Melinda Gates Foundation, the largest in the world. 30-some billion, plus Warren Buffett, 30 billion he's giving them. The richest one in the world. That's what they want to be esteemed as. And they don't have people that have certain kind of understanding of the intricate things of the communities on their boards. His daddy and folks that are millionaires and really have no conscience of people that are suffering. So what they say to us, they take the little monies and take them and give these little black kids and these poor people these shots in their arms and pollute them and poison them and kill them and create all these kinds of diseases that are created in the world for these powerful pharmaceuticals and this medical or industry to stay alive. That's what they do. Yahweh tells us how to be healthy, how to eat healthy, how to live healthy. He tells us all of that. We're the shape we're because we have not walked in all of His ways. I don't care what any part of your life. I don't care how disconfigured, disorganized it is. It is because you have not walked in all of His ways. You can make any excuse you want to. You can say what you want. It's your physical being. You have not allowed the truth of Torah to fill your heart. And that's the truth. That's just the truth. You have not allowed that. And so we want to make excuses and to make reasons. What the reason why? No, the reason why? Because we're just rebellious. We're hard-headed. We have gone out of the way of Yahweh. When Israel went out of the way, they ate swine flesh. They did every kind of wicked thing. They became fat in there. And their wickedness in their hearts became over fat. That's what it is. And our problem is not because we're doing right, because we're doing wrong. That's why the situation in our lives arise the way they do. Because we're not doing right. We're not walking in the ways of Yahweh. You can reject that to your own peril, but it's still the truth. It's still the truth. You show me a scripture whereby if we were doing, scripture says that blessed is everyone that fears Yahweh, that walk in His ways. That's what it says. He has the fullness of Yahweh. When a man fears Yahweh and walks in all of His ways, he's blessed. And that's just the truth. And we are not the most blessed people. When Israel obeyed Yahweh and walked in all His ways, were they blessed? Did they have the perfect health of Yahweh among them? Did they walk in the wisdom of Yahweh? Did they not have that? When they began to go out the strange thing, did the curse of Yahweh come upon them? Did He destroy them? And we can see that in our own beings, how He's destroying. Why? Because we're rejecting all of His ways. He's chosen at what part we like and what makes our flesh tick. You know, to become a pilot, you have to become a pilot or some specific something like a pilot that takes an enormous amount of understanding of certain things, dynamics, or doctor. You don't make that by failing, do you? Do you make that by being a D student? No, you got to be an excellent, don't you? Yes, you do. When a doctor goes into his internship, he has to do things perfectly. Because if he doesn't, he has to go back again. And if he goes again, then nobody wants him. No hospital is going to bring him aboard. None whatsoever. You can say what you want to. For man that is a bionuclear engineer, if he doesn't understand the nuances of that thing, you think they're going to hire him if he don't understand the extremes of mathematics? You think they're going to hire him if he can't even do algebra or calculus? You think they want him because he can do algebra? He's far beyond that. He works on a problem that may take him 1 year just to figure it out. I remember that little student they had at USC Chapel, Charlotte here, some years ago. They gave him 3 problems for the summer to work on 3 mathematical problems. 3 problems. Do you understand that? And he's not working 10 minutes a day on the problem. He worked for hours a day on 1 problem. He said, summer was almost over. He said, I got two finish. Well, the instructor implied that he may have 2 finish, but that doesn't mean he has 2 right. Well, you think that Kaczynski, that bomber, the Unabomber, you know what happened to him? He was a tenure professor. He had tenure. He was a mathematical professor. He had worked 1 year on a problem, and when the faculty realized he had made an error, he couldn't handle it. He went zonko. That's what happened to him. He was a tenure professor. They couldn't fire him. He was a tenure. He worked on this problem for years, and he thought he had, bam, I got it. And so when the faculty of the mathematical department, when they began to look at it, they said, hold up. It looks right. It seems right. Seemed like all the doctor line up. Hold up. This is where you missed it, right here. Right here.
And as they began to work, you had the collectiveness of the minds. When they began to work around, they said, you're wrong. You didn't solve it. And that twisted that man's mind. I'm using that for this purpose, to give you an analogy. That even if the natural things require that, what do you think Yahweh requires? To work out a problem like that, you can't spend 10 minutes on it. It's I got it done. No, that kid said he spent all summer on those two problems. All summer. Trying to figure it out. See, we're a generation like that. We're people that have no love for the things of Yahweh, so we're not energized by Him. But yet someone naturally like that are energized by three mathematical problems that would take him all summer, if he gets them right, to figure them out. All summer. All summer. So the things of Yahweh, we think we have been taught this instant pudding type thing. It's in between instant pudding and homemade, isn't it? You can tell a box cake from a real cake. Different. You can tell brownies that are homemade from brownies that are boxed. Different. Tastes different. Ones that are homemade, not different. Because it takes a caring ingredients, doesn't it? Everything must be precise to get that same batch every time. It must. It must. That instance of you throw water in it, bam. Every batch tastes different. You know you got that frosty, the taste is not right. It leaves something on your taste bud that is just not natural, isn't it? But if someone, old mama, goes in there with a, make a pound cake, she used butter. Yeah, she doesn't melt the butter on the stove. She just let it melt, set it out overnight. And they get it softened and right. You understand? She knows how to do it. She doesn't use brown sugar. She uses white sugar and get it right. Well, yes, that's how ingredients are. That's stuff that is phony and fake. You know it's fake. It doesn't even taste like the other. And so that's what we've been fed, a diet that has been totally phony and hasn't been the true diet of Yahweh. We must walk in all of His ways and not some of His ways. Let me move quickly because I want to finish this. It says here in 2 Shemuel, 2 Samuel, chapter 22, verse 21. It says, Yahweh rewarded me, this is David crying, according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands as He recompensed me. He says this now in verse 22. For I have kept the ways of Yahweh, and I have not done wickedly departing from Yahweh my Abba. Now when you depart from the ways of Yahweh, you're doing wickedly. 2 Samuel 22 verse 22. Verse 23, for all, listen now, for all, not some, for all. Does it say that? For all His mishpah, His judgments, are before me, and as for His hukah, His judgment, His statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before Him, and I have kept myself from my iniquity, from my Torah lessness, from my non-compliance of Torah. I have obeyed His mishpah. I have kept the judgments of Yahweh. These are the ways of Yahweh. The ways of man, it is without judgment. Who likes judgment? Tell me. Who delights in judgment? No one. And yet that is how Yahweh corrects us. That is how He is known. No one wants to be judged. No one wants to acknowledge their criminality. Say, you're doing wrong. No one wants to be corrected. There's an error about this generation. It despises the correction of Yahweh. Say something to assistance as you respond. Watch the brother. Quiet. It's right to be that way. Because Yahweh has your number. And don't sit here like a hypocrite and say, not me. I'm different. You're no different. No whatsoever. This is an arrogant, pompous, haughty generation. That's why I want to say anything to you. And that's what this trash we call Christianity has taught us. You got the spirit. You don't need no man to teach you. That's a lie from hell. That's not what scripture was saying. You have the Ruah of Yahweh, then the birth of the Torah should be alive in one.
You don't have to have a man to teach you. You should not kill. You shouldn't have any graven image. You should have no God before you. That you should remember the Shabbat and keep His name. You don't need to have nobody teach you that. That's what Shaul was saying. And so this perverted thing we call Christianity has taught us that. So you got this pompous mindset today. Well, I don't need nobody. I don't know nobody's going to tell me nothing. Well, I want to tell you something. You need to look. Why would I listen to you? It's a stupid generation. It is. It is. We find that spirit prevalent in everything. Don't you see it in the natural? Children love for parents to tell them things. Children love to be instructed. Huh? They just gravitate to their parents because they say, don't. You can. Can I, Mama? No. Why? This kind of generation it is. We better get real and deal with the circumstances of who we are and how we're falling short. We got to walk in all of His ways. Yeah, 99.5 won't do. 99.9 will not do. It has nothing to do with your age or your physical being. None whatsoever. You're not going in because you're young or old. You're going in because you've kept His ways. You're not going in because mom or daddy. You're not going into the kingdom because your mother, your daddy. You're going in because you've done what He commanded you to do. Period. Mama's prayers are not getting you nowhere. Daddy's either. Period. I have a few more scriptures I want to read. I want to read this quickly. I want to read this because I want to read this in Gilead, Revelation chapter 15:3. Now this is the last testament of scripture, isn't it? Now you would think that in this book, if he conclude with something, he wants us to adhere to it. Don't you think so? You would believe that, wouldn't you? It says in Gilead, chapter 15, verse 3, and they sing the song of Moshe, the servant of Yahweh, and the song of the Lamb. Listen this now. Saying, great. Is He great, Yahweh great? Is He great? Is HaMashiach great? And marvelous are your works. Are the works of Yahweh marvelous? Has He done a marvelous thing with your physical being? Nothing like the body of man. Yahweh Almighty, it says here, does it say just? It say just and what? And what? Are what? Are what? Does it say way or ways? Are your ways. So are the ways of Yahweh just? Are the ways of Yahweh true? Just and true are your ways, King of the Kedushims. So are the ways of Yahweh just and true? And if they are just ways and true ways, does He want us to walk in all of those ways? That's the only way you're going to walk in a just mindset or a just righteousness in the ways of Yahweh. Just and true are your ways, Yahweh. Are your ways. Are the ways of Yahweh. The plural, the ways. His mizvats, His mizpah. All of the ways of Yahweh are just and they are true. That's why Yahkahanan said, prepare ye the way of Yahweh and make His path straight. His judgment right. You've judged wrong. Your mishpah has been wrong. It has not been right. Consider your own judgment. Do you judge yourself like you judge others? Do you look at others like you look at you? Are you more critical of others than you of yourself? See, if you would judge yourself and was critical of you, you have no need to be someone else to criticize you. Those are the ways of Yahweh. Is Yahweh critical on us? Sure He is. He correct us by what? Judgment. He is known by His judgment. You think He's going to be known by some little cupcake type mentality? You're wrong. So all of the ways that Yahweh are just. All of His ways are true. All of His ways are pure. You think that Yahkahanan come to establish some other ways? So you go back to the Bereshit. It begins with man and the creation of the Garden of Eden and woman. And all the ways that He instructed man, they have not changed. What He instructs us has not changed. That's Torah. It has not changed. The ways of Yahweh are permanent. They have not changed one bit at all. Listen to this in Hosea, chapter 14. This is what Yahweh says. Hosea chapter 14, verse 9. We're wise people, are we not? Huh? The question is asked. As He deals with the just and the wicked now. He says in Hosea 14:9. He said, who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Now if you're wise, you'll understand these things. Prudent, and you shall know them. You all have that? It says what the next few words. What does it say? The ways of who? They're what? They're what? Are they wrong? Does it say ways or way? Plural, ways of Yahweh, they are right. And who shall walk therein? And the just shall walk in them, but the transgressor shall fall therein. So all the ways of Yahweh are right. They're not wrong ways, but they are right. And we that are just or have been justified by faith, we walk in those ways. They're just ways, and we must walk in the ways of Yah. We cannot walk in our own ways. We must walk in Yahweh's way. And we know what His ways are. We know what His paths are. For the way of His Torah and the way of His mitzvot, they are Kodesh. And the paths of His statutes, His ordinances, His limitations, His instructions to us, His wisdom to us, His commands unto us. We must obey that. We must. We must. It doesn't take a technical mind to understand Scripture. It takes a mind of HaMashiach. That's what it takes. One, to be an airplane pilot, they must go to school continuously to refresh themselves. They must continuously. The different gadgetry on planes and the different functions, they must always. But it's one thing about this book, we don't want to do that. We don't go in this book and refresh ourselves and remind ourselves what's required. You ever flown on a plane? Do you not see those pilots carrying those large cases? You ever seen that? What do you think's in that? Their lunch? Books. Manuals. That's what's in that. You ever walk past the cockpit? You'll see the cockpit. You will see it. The books laid out. The captain. All of them. They keep those books. You've never seen a pilot without his blue black case with his books. Is that the truth? If you ever go into an airport, just go and look at the pilots. You will see them all with these large, they're all, basically most of them, they're black, and they're about that thick, about that high. They don't have lunch in their whiskey. They have books. Books. To remind them of the ways of this Boeing 747 or 742. They have books there. And yet the book of life, it has no relevance, no importance to us at all. Because when they sit down in their seat, they open the proper book. They refresh themselves. They do that. Although they know it, there's a procedure. And they go through that procedure every time. They don't even lift off until they do that. And yet the ways of Yahweh, we never acknowledge them. They're not valuable to us. They're not vital to our lives. And that's why we can never rise above this flesh and soar in the power of His Ruah. That's why we are earthly, sensual, corrupt, wicked things. That is the truth. I don't care if nobody likes me. That's all right. That's why we can never rise up. That's why we can never get beyond flesh. And yet even in the natural analogy, they have to have their books to get up. And the whole time they're in the air, they're not in there planned, on the internet planned, some kind of game. They're refreshing themselves in the manual. Okay. Altitude 53,000 feet. Make sure that zenith P relates to zenith XY. To understand that, you must work out this formula. They understand all that. Sure it is. It's one thing about aerodynamics, it's very profound. I don't understand it. It's too complex for me. This is simple truth. And so they are constantly reminded and refreshed through the course of the flight, preparation for landing. Then are we not, should we not be doing the very same thing? You will never understand the ways of Yahweh walking in the carnal, fleshly, corrupt mindset. You got to understand what Scripture says. And your natural mind keeps you away from this, doesn't it? But it's fine time for folly, doesn't it? Playing and foolish things. You find enough time for that, don't you? You do. I want to close with this verse. It says, hallelujah, why? It says here in Yahushua ben Nun, Joshua 22, verse 5. I want to read this tonight, my close.
Yahweh, mother mouth of Yahushua, gave instruction unto certain tribes of Israel to enter into their place, their tents. And he gives us the same instructions today. He says in Joshua 22 verse 5, he says, but take diligent heed, and I want you all to do that today, to do the mitzvot and the Torah, which Moshe the servant of Yahweh charged you. Now let us take diligent heed to do that. To do what? To love Yahweh, your Abba, and to walk in what? To walk in what? All of his ways, and to keep his what? His mitzvot, and to do what? To cleave to him, and to serve him with all of your love, and with all of your doings. May I propose the question to you, is that valuable for us today? Does that grant us the same life and the same strength and the same power as he spoke to Gad, Manasseh, and Reuben, the tribes? Does it grant unto us the same strength and the same power to do that? Is that relevant today to love Yahweh, to walk in of all of his ways? That is why Yahkahanan came, prepare ye the way. And we must prepare the way of Yahweh. Prepared. We must always be making preparation. We must always keep ourselves ready. And that is what a pilot does in his flight process. He's always ready for the extremes. He's always ready for that. They understand protocol and what must be done. And if we don't have an affection and love for what's in this true book of Yahweh, then we're going to be just like the wicked. We're going to fall therein. We're going to fall. The Torah will have no power to us. And the truth, the word of Yahweh, will not be the strength of our hope. And our hope will be based upon the natural, physical, biological things that we perceive, we see. Things that we think have great grandeur. And they possess no power at all. So I say to you today, do diligent to hear what Scripture says. And to obey with all of your love. To love Yahweh. To keep His truth. Keep His word. To become impregnated with His word. To be refreshed continuously. And what the book says. To remind yourself. To keep your mind and your heart sharp. To do that. You cannot be sharp unless you constantly go to this. You cannot. You that learned algebra in my days, if you don't do it now, if you have not gone back during the course of the years to refresh yourself, it's done. And you're going to have someone to teach you the principles again. Yes, you do. Yes, you will. And so it is with this. We must be taught all of his ways. And it begins in the Bereshit. And it teaches every aspect about life. May Yahweh bless you. May he strengthen you today. May he cause your heart to delight in him and that you rejoice in the hope and the promise of Yahushua HaMashiach. For we know that the kingdom, the mighty, everlasting kingdom of Yahweh shall be established upon the earth and is sooner than we think. Many things are taking place. See death in every part of the world. HaMashiach said it would be. And there should be wars and rumors of wars. And many false prophets shall arise. Many of them. And there are many false prophets today. They're prophesying, they're pseudo men, false lies. There's one thing that old Stair would say many times. He would quote that verse from Kephah about, and there were false prophets, and there should be many false teachers. He would say that. But HaMashiach disclosed in the latter time that there should be, that many false prophets shall arise. The twisted dog he is. He won't listen to me. He won't even talk to me. Hallelujah, Yahweh. But he will quote that scripture. And there were false prophets. And there shall be many false teachers. And HaMashiach says, in the last days you shall know, because many false pseudo men shall arise. And they're going to deceive many. And they're rising up. I believe what Stairs doing is the work of God. I believe that wholeheartedly. Because I know who the God is. The God of this world. I believe what he's doing is of God. And I wish someone is out there listening and some chance here to give it to him. Tell him, come see me. I'll sit down with the pervert. But he will quote that all the time. But yet that is the truth. Many false prophets shall arise.
These men are false, and I believe what he's doing is of God. No doubt about it. The God of this world blinded the minds of many, and at least the power of this mighty truth shine through. At least they be saved, and they're not going to be saved. May Yahweh bless you. Bless you all that are listening. Come on, Brother Pat. It's going to be awful warm today, but we bless Yahweh for all things. I said to Elder Martin, I said, it's hot out there. He said, I don't even worry about that. I don't even look to see what the weather's going to be. I tell you, I do. It's going to be hot today. Thank Yahweh for the little wind. It's supposed to be 9 miles an hour, so I bless him for that. It's going to be hot, but I always say that hell is hotter, so I can endure this. There are people in countries. Can you imagine, as I thought, I was thinking the day the poor people in India, it gets 125, 130 degrees in the shade. They don't have nothing. They just dehydrate and die. They just drop dead, a lot of them. Believe me, in those poor parts of the country, they don't tell you how many people are dying. They may give you a little insight, but there are folks dropping dead in places like that all the time. They are. Places like Baghdad and Iran, Iraq, where it's 115 degrees, 120 degree day like this. Now, humid too. It's going to be 97. It's going to feel like 105 today because of the humidity. It's going to be hot. We were out there yesterday, the brothers, we were playing basketball, and I tell you, it was hot. I moved like a snail, too. So I'm not going to hurt myself. It was even the young men moved that way, too, so I don't feel too bad. It was extremely hot, so I know what it was like out there for you brothers. Out there working. It's hot. It's hot. Hot in those houses. Isn't that so, brothers? It was hot. Hallelujah, Yahweh. So at the end of this week, it's supposed to cool down, if the report is right, the weather report. And many times it is. You're always giving man the power. Don't think he doesn't, brothers and sisters, to discern the face of the sky and the change. He understands those things. Now, don't be ignorant on that. He can tell you what the weather's going to be. Now, that's just it. You say what you want to. Well, they said it wasn't going to rain. It rained. Come on, folks. But when they say it's going to be 100 degrees, it's going to be 100 degrees. You can go to the bank on that. All right? They can almost tell you when it's going to rain. They tell you a hurricane is going to hit almost where. They can tell you that. He's giving man that kind of ability. And he just knows. You say what you want to. He knows. He does. And so after this, next Shabbat will be a nice day. I hope it is. It'll be 20 degrees cooler than it is now. So let us bless Yahweh for that. We do thank you for all things, even the hot weather. We need that for the plants and the gardens. It won't grow. Sister Tucker was telling me that it stays light until about 10 o'clock there where she's living. It's still daylight. You can still see at night at 10. And during the winter, up in that part of the country, it's daylight around 3:30 in the morning. That's what time that you can see daylight out there, just like it is out here. And it get dark in the evening, probably around 3. Start getting dark. 3:30, 4, it's dark. That's what happens. That's the truth. The places there in Barrow, Alaska, places where they never see the sun. Never see it. They see the brightness of the day, but they don't see the sun. Some parts of the world, they don't see the sun. That place in Russia, they never see the sun. They got to put children on these ultraviolet lights because they the melatonin in their body, they can't get that. And children have to go to places and just sit under these lights, these ultra lights, to get the melatonin in their body. Hallelujah, Yahweh. So we bless Yahweh for the sun. It may be hot, but you need the sun. It may burn your skin at times, but you need it. Hallelujah, Yahweh. And if you all had air conditioning at home, you would be no good. I was telling who the deacon men, I said they wouldn't come out. Some of y'all wouldn't even come outside. Period. That thing keeps you there. Old Tommy Jordan up the street here, he's in some of the worst shape there is because of that. He said, I'm telling you, preacher, tell you what happened. That's where the Legionnaire disease started in 1968 in Philadelphia. You all may not know about that, I remember, because of that. This is not the most healthiest thing for us. It's just an unnatural thing, really. Well, it's hot. That's all right. A little sweat. You understand? Every time your body sweats, it's cleansing you out and taking out the impurities out of your body. That's what it's doing. That's what about the sweat of your brow. And when you sweat, you smell good when you sweat, don't you? Huh? You don't stink, do you? Do you stink? Well, that just shows you what's coming out of you. That's what's coming out of you. So it's good to sweat. You'll be all right. Sweat, they never kill no one. Someone may have a heat stroke because of sweat, because they didn't do things wise. You get out there, I saw someone, I went to Charlotte on Thursday, it was so hot there, boy, it made your skin crawl. And I saw a woman out there, a little white guy, she was chugging down the street, just rolling. You know it's hotter on the blacktop than it is around grass. And she was rolling. It felt like it was 110 degrees up there. Didn't stop her. No, it didn't. And when I was young, I would get out there in that kind of weather, because if I didn't get out there when it was 100, weather like 105 degrees, if I didn't get out there and run me 5 or 7, 8 miles, that was the ultimate challenge there. So we bless you all way for the hot weather. The plants sure look good. I went over there this morning. They look real nice. Growing, vibrant, green, beautiful. I like that. Can't grow another without the sun. Got to have some sun. Stuff like corn needs at least 8 hours of sun a day. It needs that. You don't want to plant corn in a shady spot. You want to plant it where to get the sun. It takes that for it to grow. May Yahweh bless you. Let us stand to our feet. Have a wonderful time. Have a wonderful day this Shabbat. You that are listening, we bless you all. We thank Yahweh for all of you. You, your gifts, your support, we bless you all. Yahweh will enrich you and bless you. Come on, let us sing our song together. You know the song. Come on.
So let there be love shed among us. Let there be love in our lives. May now your love, sweet desire, cause us, Yahweh, a friend, understanding, a brotherly love that is real. So let there be love shed among us. Let there be love.
Come on, grab your neighbor's hand, sing that. Come on, son.
So let there be love.
We greet you all. We bless you all that are living, Brother Michael, Sister Michael, our Brother Alex. We greet you all and thank you for the kind words this morning. We bless you all. Brother Nathan, we bless you. Brother Jerry, Brother James, Sister Teresa, we bless you all. Brother James there in New York City, we bless you. All of our listeners and friends today, we bless you all. Wherever you're listening, may Yahweh enrich you and bless you all.
Arise, give us a friend, understanding,
Brother, Sister Tucker, you're the children, we bless you all today, we greet you,
that it is real, so let there be love, share it among us, let there be as love.
Come on, look to your neighbor and sing.
So let there be love shed among us. Let there be a love in our lives. Be now your love, sweetest behest, cause us, Yahweh, to arise, give us a friend, understanding, a brotherly love that is real. So let there be love shared among us. Let love.
Come on, one more time.
So let there be love.
Bless you all that are listening.
Share.
You that are on the live broadcast today, we bless you and thank you for your visiting the assembly here, Yahweh's congregation, Jefferson, South Carolina. Yahweh moves upon your heart to help us and assist us in this outreach to others. Send a gift. The address is there on the website whereby you can send a gift. Make your money order, your checks out to Yahweh's congregation. We bless you all in Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.
Understanding a brotherly love that is real.
For this day is the day of Yahweh, and we bless you. We thank you for all things. For your kindness toward us, our precious Abba. Bless Brother Nathan and all those that gather with him today. And all of your people, wherever they are, Yah. We ask you to strengthen us, Almighty Yahweh, and watch over us and protect your people. We bless you for this day, for the fellowship of the brothers. We love you in Yahshua's mighty name. We thank you. We pray your strength for us upon us all on this Shabbat as we take our delight in you, our precious Abba, Yahshua's mighty name. And all of his people cried, Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.